Good evening. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved.
But you have moved.
Huh?
But you have moved.
Oh! You know, it's a blessing to be here. It's been last week and today, this week, first day of the week. It's been tough. But I know who I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to do all things. Tonight's lesson, the Elohim, his power and his ability. He is able to do marvelous things. So, we say, when we look at creation and all that the Mighty One has accomplished in Exodus, Chapter 15 and verse 6. Your right hand, O Lord. Is majestic. In power. Your right hand, O Lord. Shatters the enemy. The majestic power of the Almighty. The word majestic, when we think about that word and then we add power to it, having or showing impressive beauty or dignity. When we talk about the majestic power of the Creator, we see the existence of the universe. We see ourselves. But the angelic host, when they witness the majestic power of the Almighty, according to Job chapter 38 and verse 7, when he brought forth the creation of the earth, and they witnessed it, and they sung joy in their hearts. Great awe to be able to see something like that. The majestic power of the Creator. The majestic power of the Creator. How he shatters the enemy. How when the children of Noah's time, evil continually in their hearts, God sent forth the flood and destroyed all living creatures on the earth. And then in chapter 9, he set a bow in the sky to remind us that he will never destroy the earth again by water. And yet you have this LGB or whatever you want to call it, has taken the rainbow, made a flag out of it. I don't know if you thought about that, but that's what it is today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, because of his majestic power and his ability to shatter his enemy, the Elohim is also able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. The good Lord knows what he is doing. I know he's at work because of the song that was selected goes great with the lesson, because he is able. He is able to make all grace abound toward you. To abound means to have in abundance. He says that his grace will abound toward you. That means that what is it that comes with this grace? Redemption, salvation, transformation, confirmation, the power and the ability to overcome sin. Yes. So, always having all sufficiency is the condition or quality of being adequate or sufficient. I found out that I am very adequate in the things that I have. Sufficient. Over sufficient. I had 2 buckets of shoes about this tall, and I dumped them out on my closet floor. And went and got another one, and I dumped it out on my closet floor. And I said, man, I don't need no more shoes. I got too many shoes. And I'm looking at all these clothes. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you. It's just an abundance. That's what he does for us. And then we don't pay attention to it, of course. We don't even thank him. How do we thank him? How do we thank the Lord for today? Have you thanked the Lord for today? See, this grace and this abundance that God is showing us is for every good work. It's for every good work. When was the last time you done some good work? Right? And some good work. See, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, now to him who is able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. He is able to do what? Far above all that we asked and what we think. The reason why you don't have the things that you ask for is because you ask with the wrong motives. Reason why you probably don't got no money right now, because the Lord is saying all you're going to do is waste it. I'll never forget when the voice inside me told me to put my weapon down. I said, if I put my weapon down, then who gonna protect me? And the voice said, I will. And I haven't touched a weapon in over 24 years. I am persuaded that he is able to protect me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. For whom shall I fear? He has taken my feet out of the miry mud, death, and placed it in a broad place. That's what he has done for me. When my enemies were surrounding me with dogs ready to beat me down, and I got my hands up in the air, the good Lord blinded them. They couldn't see me. Everybody else saw me but them. Said, he can't see him. They can't see him. Why ain't they doing nothing to him? because God wouldn't let them do nothing to me. That's right. He is able to do according to the power that works within us. It is the power of God that works within us. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands firm, having this seal, the Lord knoweth those whom are his. Let everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You have hundreds of thousands of people worshiping today, and they all say, I'm a Christian. But the Lord has set his seal on his elect. He know who we are. He know because of his power within us. No temptation, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. It is because of the power of God that is within us that gives us the ability to endure the temptation. What is temptation? Well, you know, I'm kind of tempted to go to the club, get drunk, throw up the next morning, and say, oh Lord, forgive me. I'm never going to do that again. Woo! It happens. It happens. Christians fall down, get scraped up. If we had an opportunity to look at our spirits and our souls and everything right now, everybody fell off a bike. If you ever rode a bike, you have one of them cherry blisters right on your leg right there, and that pants leg be rubbing up against it. Ooh. And you walking around holding the pants leg off like, what's wrong with your leg? Oh, I fell off my skateboard. Right? If we could see what we look like from all the wounds that we have taken on in this Christian walk, then you will understand. That's why it's very important that we stay in a repentant mind, so that, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, right? So the desire to do something, especially something that is wrong, the desire to do something, especially when it is wrong. But as you grow in the church life, and you know, you pray to God and you do the things according to his will, you'll find yourself making better decisions. You'll find yourself making better decisions. Daniel 4 and 37. Find yourself making better decisions. Nebuchadnezzar, one of the kings, you know, pumped up with pride because of what he had, what the Lord had given him, he pumped up with pride of all that the good Lord gave him. I got this, I got that, I done this, I done that. I can do this to you, I can do that to you. And what happened to him? You know, That guy ate grass like an ox. Hair grew long, dreadlocks all the way to the ground. Claws this long, right? Wild man. Crawling on all fours like an animal. But he learned What did he learn? What did he say?
He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride.
You're talking about a man of great wealth, responsible for a lot of souls. Yeah. Responsible for a lot of souls. And the Elohim humbled him.
You know, his head this big. Good Lord got that little pen and just beep. And all you heard was
all that pride leaking out of him. All that pride leaking. You don't want to be leaking. You see? So we need to understand that God has the ability and the power to shatter the enemy, and the majestic power to supply us so that we have all sufficiency in all things, that we are bound in all good works. And do not suppose, in Matthew 3 and 9, that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham.
His majestic power is able. John tell him that the axe is laid against the root of the trees already.
Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I fled already.
I'm gone. I don't hang out on the corner selling Hubbles and tin sacks and passing the Booms farm.
We don't do that no more. We fled for the wrath to come.
How can you say to me, flee to the mountains, when I have taken refuge in the Lord? Flee to the mountains from your enemies. You're running from your enemies. Don't run from them. Like one of my members at work, they had to go up on about 40 feet, 50 feet up in the air at the Westfield Mall. So I call him Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. Thunderbolt is about this tall. Lightfoot is about this tall, way up here. So they walking around together. They get up on the lift.
Lightfoot, he up there. He catch him off guard. He make the thing rock. Thunderbolt go down like, what are you doing? Lightfoot say, if you're scared, go to church.
If you're scared, go to church. I said, is that what you told him? He said, yeah. He said, Coach, you know, we need to pray. I said, for what? He said, man, everything is going bad on the job. I said, oh, okay. All right.
So I started talking about something else. And he said,
yeah, we need to pray. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm sure. I said, okay.
I said, okay, bow your heads. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Your eyes ain't closed. Why your eyes ain't closed?
Okay, I'll close them. I'm going to close them.
Now, this guy's about 6'6", 380. Big dude. So we pray. Then we go on about our business.
And the other day, he says to me, he called me coach. He said, coach, you know, when we prayed, everything went well. I said, oh, did it? He said, yep. We figured out everything, the programmer. Yeah, everything went well. I said, oh, okay, that's cool, man. Yep, yep. All right. And he was happy. And he's not a Christian. He says to me, he said, y'all know fire can baptize y'all. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to get all the sin out of me. I'm going to make sure I'm ready. So that when I decide to go and get baptized, I'm gonna be done with it. I say, oh man. I said, some people don't get a chance to make that. But he got it all planned out. He say he gonna make it. Yes, Lord. So John tells him, the power, the majestic power, has the ability to raise up children after Abraham. It's majestic, right? Why? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, tells us, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Whatever happened to the spirit? You know, there is hundreds of thousands of people, like I say, claim they had a spirit of God. But they don't, according to the scripture, because it is through obedience that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's not the spirit that gives you the power to. Byron, come over here and let me lay my hands on your head to cure your glaucoma. Yeah, you gotta watch out for that guy. He's working things after the wicked one. He laying his hand on you and all of a sudden you okay? Uh-oh. Watch out. This is Jesus talking about Gehenna. It must exist because he's talking about it. Jesus has mentioned a number of individuals from the Old Testament. They must exist. He's talking about it. He's talking about them. Talked about Jonah. Talked about Abraham. Yeah, and he also told stories about a rich man and a poor man, didn't he? Yeah. That's right. So, in John 10 and 28... because hell is an eternal place away from the presence of the Lord, this is not total annihilation. It is just a separation from the presence of the Lord. That's all it is. Instead of being in bliss, you're in torment. That's what it is. So he says, and I will give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. How is it that Christ is able to give eternal life? Because the Father has life in himself, so he has also granted life in the Son. So that's how he is able to do it. Because the Father is the eternal Spirit. According to Hebrews 6 and 17 or 7, 16, one of those verses. Yeah. So, Christ says that no one will be able to take you out of his hand. In Romans 4 and 21, in being fully assured that what God has promised, he was able also to perform when he told Abraham, you will have a baby. We all know the story. I'm 90 years old walking with a cane. 78, however it was. Yeah. But God is able. We need to be fully assured of eternal life. Because we don't know how we're going to go. We don't know. We don't know how we're going to go. So we need to be ready. See, when you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. That one of them rappers said that over there out of Oakland somewhere. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. So, he is able to perform everything that he tells us in his word, because his word is forever settled in the heavens. This what we know of today will pass away, but the word of God will last for all eternity. It's by the spoken word that we exist. Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past. The gospel has been hidden. Mystery. Never know the plan of God until he reveal it. You don't know what tomorrow gonna bring until it come. Don't know. God had already had it all planned out. Right? This gospel was with the Lord in eternity. Why? For he is from eternity to the present, to eternity, whether it be in torment or paradise. It's up to you. What are you going to do? Right? 1 Peter 4:11 tells us, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. The world don't seem to understand 1 Peter 4:11. If you're going to speak, speak according to what is written in the word of God. Don't have no, here's the Bible, and then I got a parallel book to go with it. This book right here completes the Bible. Or As-Salaamu Alaykum. I got my Holy Quran. And then I back it up with the Bible. Wait a minute. Now how is that going to work? Why are you guys pulling from the scriptures and then you talk down about Christians? Why are you doing it? Don't do it. Stay away from it. What was that verse we were just on? 1 Peter 4 and 11 says that it is God who gives us the strength, because he is the one that supplies us the strength to be able to speak his words and to serve, so that he may be glorified through Jesus Christ. See, apart from Jesus, God can't be glorified. He can't be glorified apart from Jesus. So we see that in all of our situations of distress and concerns, I don't have no money. I'm gonna pay my bill today. I don't get paid until next week. We gotta watch out. We gotta pay attention. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. He is the one that comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by. We have the comforter. Do we understand what we have within us? The comforter. When a situation arises, you need to be like salt. Useful. Got to be useful. Christians, we have to be useful. And in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, for this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what he has entrusted to him until that day. I am persuaded that he is able. We need to sing that and believe it. The world say, why you believe in that book? That's the white man's book. I say, I didn't know God was white. How can you see a spirit? Right? Hebrews 5 and 7 tells us, in the days of his flesh, Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. How many of us pray to God for deliverance? We can pray, my back been hurting me. We can pray, man, I'm praying for my back. Good Lord say, you might have to deal with that pain right there. It's going to toughen you up a little bit. Some things God just leave in place. He leave it in place so that you can continue to come to him, so that when he move, maybe you'll recognize him. That's the problem we have. We come in contact with so many physical things in our lives. Games, chicken, steak, hot rods, pretty girls, and arguments with our wives, and disobedient children, and I say piety. We must learn. You know the Lord, when I moved, I'm going to be closing up here right now. The last verse. He said, I want you to go right up in that room right there, right up in that closet, and I need you to do your thing.
said, I got you, Lord. And I did it. Went up there, went in that closet, and did my thing. In the closet. Said, where you at? I'm in the closet. Don't worry about it. Last scripture, Hebrews 11:19. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received them back as a type. What do you want me to do? Kill my son? You must gonna give him back. Because I know who you are. Please don't pass me by. I remember you. When them three guys appeared to him, Sarah laughing at the doorway. Good Lord, hold on. Go fetch me a little bitty animal so I can sacrifice it, and we're going to eat, make some bread, some cakes. Lord, don't pass me by. Three holy men. One of them was the Lord. That is your lesson. Anybody stand in need of prayer? We are here to assist you. Not let us be led in our song that was selected in our hearing.
Let's stand. Bring Christ, joy, hope, and mind, so long.